we've already been blessed. These weeks seem to go by so quick. And this year, Brother Danny, come and preach to us. We're just coming out of the wilderness. 40 years, and you're leading us out of the wilderness. No, I don't want to say that. God bless you.
Brother, you follow me, you'll find yourself in bondage. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. Appreciate all of you for showing up, and whatever your reason for coming is, praise God, we're glad you're here tonight. Honored that the Lord would allow us to stand on His behalf and preach His Word. And what a glorious honor and privilege that is. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter 27, we're going to read several verses of Scripture tonight. Try to get into the message, see what the Lord has for us. We've been, I don't know how long we've been coming to the church here. Several years. Coming back when Dr. Lewis was pastor. And got some good memories, some good times. And I didn't get in on all that good stuff. You know, when the lightning storm hit and all that. I missed all that good stuff, I guess. But we have had some good times. Our children came with us. We were singing as a family as I was pastoring a church, and we came up and did some special music for some meetings as Brother Tommy Stone did some preaching and Brother Sam Sparks. And our children have good fun memories of being at Blackstone Valley Baptist Church. They remember some good times that the Lord gave us while we were here, and it's helped them. And I always like to thank pastors and churches that have had an influence on our children, because they're part of the reason our children are serving the Lord. God gives us help in raising our children if we'll just let God. Amen. And so the Lord did that for us, and we praise Him for His goodness and mercy. Acts chapter number 27, and beginning with verse number 14, if you'll stand with us tonight. Paul is a man that is serving God faithfully. Of course, everyone knows the Apostle Paul, but he's been serving the Lord, and here in the story that we're going to be preaching about tonight, some men have already gotten together, and they've agreed that they're not going to eat or sleep until the Apostle Paul is dead. They're going to kill him. And it's all because, and it amazes me, it's because he's telling them that God loves them. Amen? I mean, that's it. He's preaching, as we preached yesterday morning, he's declaring the gospel to them, trying to keep them out of hell and get them into heaven. And they don't like that, and so they're going to put him to death. And then Paul stands before the governor. He has stood before the king, and he has given his testimony as they're trying him and by false accusations, of course. And so Paul is appealed unto Caesar and requested that he stand before Caesar. And so they agree that he needs to go before Caesar. And so as he's going there, and not on vacation, let me remind you, amen, but as he's going there, he's going by ship, and God has already forewarned him that there's going to be a storm, it's going to be a bad situation, and Paul tries to tell the men that. He's not trying to get out of going before Caesar. As a matter of fact, Paul wants to go before Caesar because he wants to tell him about Jesus, amen. I mean, even though it sounds like, boy, Paul, you'd be wise to stay home and forget this thing, yet, oh, Paul, he's just wanting to share the gospel with anybody and everybody he can. And so he tells the people that own the ship that, and the captain of the ship, hey, we better not go. We ought not go on this trip. And they are looking at the dollar. Amen. And so they say, no, we're going to set sail and we're going to go. So we take up the story in verse number 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, striking sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to the God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves to the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it was, so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, dear God, for the testimony that's given here, Lord, of this church having a history of 40 years of standing as a lighthouse in an old dark world. Many a soul has come through this way, Lord, and God being tossed to and fro, and some have not yielded and hearkened to the lighthouse, and Lord, their ship has been broken and fallen asunder, Lord, and many have died and went to a devil's hell because they paid no attention to the lighthouse here. Lord, you know what we're talking about, the testimony that this church bears of your saving grace. But yet, Lord, we can't help but think and look and see that there have been many others, Lord, that have hearkened. Lord, they've come to you and they've asked you to save them and forgive them of their sin. And today, yet today, Lord, many of them are still among us, and they still live because have the testimony because of what you've done in their lives. Lord, there's many that are already in heaven with you, Lord, because, God, they got saved. We thank you, dear Lord, and we pray, God, that this church would continue on until the day of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we'll be all found faithful, Lord, to serving you and doing your will. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, that once again that you'll meet with us and stir our hearts. I pray, God, that we'll find the help in you that we so desperately need. And Lord, we do need help tonight. I ask you to help us tonight as we preach and help those that will listen, Father. God, I pray that you would touch our tongue, though our speech might be a little different in different areas. God, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord. Father, that the message would enter into the hearts of people that want it to. Pray, dear God, if there be one among us that's lost tonight, that this will be the night, Lord, that they come to know you as their personal Savior. We pray, Lord, for that one that really, really desires that help, God, that they'll come and let you help them. Have thine own way. We pray, God, that everything that's said and done would glorify you and exalt you, Lord. For, Lord, you are worthy of all praise. And God, we ask you to help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look here, and very seldom do I title messages, but this one, if I were to title it, I'd say something that everyone has, but no one wants. Something that everyone has, but no one wants. You say, well, what would that be? Trouble. Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. And then Job chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We've got trouble on every hand. Amen. Now, some of us, let's be honest now, some of us are in trouble tonight, or we have trouble in our lives because we have brought it on ourselves. Decisions, my friend, can either bring troubles or keep troubles away. Amen. Wrong decisions bring troubles our way. Good decisions keep trouble away. Amen. But I found this out. Everyone has troubles. The Apostle Paul was not out of God's will. We would like to read it and say that Paul was out of God's will. You say we would like to. Well, sure. We would like to say if you get out of God's will, you're going to get in trouble. But if you stay in God's will, you'll have no trouble in life. Boy, we'll be nice. That's a falsehood, isn't it? Down in Alabama, you'd call it a lie. Amen? That is a lie, isn't it? We all have troubles. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you live for God or whether you don't live for God. Amen? You say, well, what's the difference then? Well, my friend, if you bring the trouble on yourself, then it's going to be a whole lot worse. Amen? It's going to be a whole lot worse because you have made a bad decision. And here's a thought about it. Just think about that trouble that you're facing, and you know you made a bad decision, and now you've got to face that every day of your life and say, oh, I wish I had just made the right decision. That makes it worse. Amen. Now, if trouble comes upon you and you're living for God, you're not asking for trouble, my friend, and it befalls you to have trouble in your life, oh, my friend, then you can just rest assured, praise God, this is for God's glory and God's honor. Amen. It sure helps in the midst of trouble. Paul was here, my friend, not because of a bad decision, but because of the right decision or a good decision. He had decided back years ago to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen? And so now he finds himself in trouble. Now you say, Brother Danny, he wasn't in trouble. Those others that were with him was in trouble. My friend, it doesn't matter really at this point who is to blame, does it? They're in trouble. We find ourselves there tonight. Some of you tonight are sitting here, and my friend, you find trouble all around you. I mean, in your life, you're facing problems, troubles. And I mean, they trouble your soul, and you just don't, some of us don't know what to do. I mean, there are troubles in such a manner, my friend, that we question God even in them. Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, are you sure you can take care of this situation? Amen, we do. I would like to say, oh no, we don't do it, but the truth is we do. We face those troubles sometimes, and sometimes they're dark problems. I mean, bad problems. They're not just your mediocre, everyday little situations that we find ourselves in, but sometimes they're troubles. I mean, no matter which way you turn, there's trouble. You can't run from it. There's trouble. That's where Paul is. He's caught up in this trouble. Maybe some of you are caught up in your troubles tonight. And you're saying, what am I going to do? I think we'd be wise to look to see what the Apostle Paul did in this situation. As we look at these scriptures, my friend, I find, first of all, that Paul spent a lot of time with the Lord. The Bible says there in verse number 21, we're just going to go through and pick out some verses tonight to try to get us some help. Amen? Some of us just don't know how to get help tonight. And God's always teaching us how to find help in Him. And so verse 21, the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Notice, after long abstinence, where was Paul? What was he doing at this time? I mean, he wasn't there on the ship. He was aboard the ship, I'm aware of that. But he wasn't there with all the men. Where was he? I think he was spending some time with God. Amen. For he had already been warned, remember? He had already been warned over in verse number 10. God had already warned Paul. Paul warned those men about this storm that was going to come about how that trouble was coming their way. Amen. So I believe Paul said, hey, there's trouble coming. I'm going to pray. Boy, it's a wise person that recognizes that problems are on their way. We need to pray. You say, but Brother Danny, we don't always recognize those problems. Oh, but don't we? I mean, we mentioned it last night in the message. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. What's that? Troubles? Troubles. Listen, folks, they're headed our way. We ought not be caught unaware. I mean, there's no excuse for us saying, preacher, we're getting out of church. Things are just getting bad, and I didn't expect this. We need to expect hard times. Amen. You say, well, boy, preacher, we didn't come to hear all of this. We come to get encouragement. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. Get you to a place where you can enjoy encouragement. Amen. But we're headed for hard times. I mean, you say, Brother Danny, you think it's really going to get worse than it is? Oh, yes. Every day we live, my friend, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until the good comes. Amen. We're talking about Jesus, for those of you that are not aware. Amen. But we need to spend time with God. We need to pray. I mean, the Bible says pray without ceasing. My friend, and the Bible says give thanks in all things. But I don't think this pray without ceasing is necessarily just, oh, Lord, we thank you. Dear God, we thank you. Oh, precious Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I don't believe we can give too much thanks. I'm not saying that. I believe we ought to be giving thanks unto God. But what I'm saying when he says pray without ceasing, I think we ought to be aware of the fact that we're going to be facing troubles in our life. We ought to be praying and saying, God, help me to stand when the troubles come. Amen. I believe that's kind of where Paul was here in the ship. I believe he had gotten him a closet, if you will. He had entered into that prayer closet and began to talk with God and asking God what he should do in this troublesome time. You see, it was important for Paul that he let his little light shine. Amen. And he knew this, that the light shines the brightest when it's the darkest. Amen. Folks, listen, when God turns the light out, so to speak, in our life, everything around us gets dark. It is more important that at those times that we let our little light shine than any other time. Amen. Everybody expects us to let our light shine when things are going good. Well, God sure is good to me. He's blessed me all day today. Hallelujah. Well, big deal. What about when it gets rough? What about when the hours are dark? Trouble is on every hand, as we said. I mean, every hand. Amen. Trouble is everywhere you look. There's trouble, trouble, trouble. What about our little light then? Isn't it more important that the world see our light shining brighter and brighter than it ever has before? Meaning that we're trusting in the Lord. Amen. So Paul is spending time with God in prayer. Oh, folks, listen to me. We just don't pray enough. That's the reason we're weak Christians. We don't pray enough. We're the weakest group of Christians, I believe, that's ever lived. We whine more than anyone. I mean, I look at my Bible and I find when folks were about to be beheaded, they weren't even whining. They were cast into prison. They weren't down there. Why, God? Why did this happen? I mean, look, it's me, Danny. Don't you know who this is, Lord? I believe for a minute God forgot who I was. And he's letting me go through this. Why has it got to be me? Why am I suffering? I'm doing right. I mean, I read my Bible. I pray. Boy, here we go. And we list all the things that we're doing right. Amen. Why, God, are you letting me? They didn't do that. They gave praise and honor and glory to God in those times. They went ahead and just let their little light shine. And you know what? It brought others to Christ. Amen. We wonder why our families won't get saved. Why they won't come and serve God with us. Because they see us as weak Christians. You know what that is? That's a reflection on the God that we serve. If we're weak, my friend, it's a sign to the world that our God is weak. And we know better than that. But yet the world looks at our God as being weak. What's the use of me going down there? All I ever hear out of you is grumbling and griping. You come in cutting down the preacher because the message he preached to you. And to be honest with you, this is what some of them would say to us. Be honest with you, he ought to have told you off. You know, when a preacher preaches the Word of God, that's what folks take it as. Preacher told me off. Amen. And never stop and think, God's trying to get me right. Amen. Well, folks, we need to spend some time in prayer. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to know the worth of prayer and pray and pray and pray that trouble catches us unaware, not unaware. Amen. And then I noticed this, my friend, that Paul trusted God in this situation. Look in verse 22. The Bible says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Boy, in the midst of a storm. I mean, it's a bad storm. We're not talking about the winds are huffing and puffing a little bit. We're talking about a bad, bad storm. And look what he says. "Be of good cheer, for there shall not be loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Oh, Paul's saying, what is he saying? He's saying, I believe God. I trust God. God has told me he's going to take care of me. Amen? Hasn't God promised us that, folks? I mean, through the troubles that we face today, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. In the last few weeks, we have been through some terrible times. I'm not whining and crying about it. I'm praising God for it. For God showed himself mighty through it all. But I'm saying this, my friend. Listen, in the midst of those troubles, we learned more about trusting God than we ever knew before. God said he'd take care of us. God said he'd meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. On and on the promises go. My friend, and when we take those promises and apply them in our lives and we shout the victory in the midst of the storm, I'm not talking about after the storm is over. I'm talking about while the storm is going on, we praise God and we lift him up, my friend, and give him glory and honor for what he's doing, because in the midst of the storm, God is doing something. Amen. All we can think of is when the storms start, when the trouble begins, getting out of it. Amen. And we miss so many blessings. If it were most of us, with the three Hebrew children, we'd have said, "Whoa, hold on. Don't heat that thing up seven times hotter. Play that music one more time." Amen? Oh, but we want to see the mighty hand of God, don't we? Huh? We do. We want to see God as he walks with us in the fiery furnace. Well, you got to get in there before he never walked with you. Amen. What about old Daniel in the den of lions? As they put old Daniel down there, listen to me. Wasn't it awesome when the next morning the king came and said, "Daniel, you okay, boy?" Old Daniel says, "Just a minute, I'm rubbing the mane down on this one lion and I'll be right with you." Amen? Wasn't that awesome? Wait just a minute. There was a whole night Daniel spent in a storm, in trouble, so to speak. You see, we want the victories, don't we? Glory to God. We want the Red Sea to open and we want to walk across on dry land. But we're not willing, listen to me, we're not willing to allow the storms to come that put us in those situations. Had the children of Israel not been in captivity there in Egypt, there would have been no Red Sea. Think about it. We want the victories, but we're not willing to allow the troubles to come. Paul knew that God was in the midst of this storm. He knew that it was a storm that God Himself had stirred up. Do you realize sometimes it's God? We blame it on the devil, and God's saying, whoa, 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 this is mine. Amen? I can see about 7 weeks ago is all of a sudden I see the back end of that 18-wheeler as we're headed right straight for it and locking the brakes up on that motorhome with our truck pushing behind it, and we're headed right straight for it and we take a hard left and stomping the brake and the back end of the motorhome sliding around. I can see God's hand in all of that. I'm serious. You say, yeah, now, but what about then? Then we could see the hand of God in it. I mean, as these things are going on, I look over at Miss Pam and she's looking over at me. Didn't say a word. There was no screaming and hollering. Oh, God, what a... None of that. I'm being honest. And when everything came to a halt, I looked at her. She looked at me. We reached over. Both of us in our seats buckled in. We reached over. I'm over like this. She takes my hand. I take her hand. I said, are you all right? She said, I'm all right. Are you okay? And I said, yes, I am. And we bowed our heads and we praised God that His hand was upon us. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. You can trust God in the midst of your storm. You can. If you just believe Him. I mean, He's in the midst of the storm. He's in every valley that we walk through. My friend, He so wants us to look to Him and say, praise the Lord. God, I don't have to get out of the storm. Just keep walking with me, Lord. And the storm will be all right. It'll not do any harm to me because You're protecting me. Amen. Then I noticed something else that took place there, my friend. Paul, y'all will maybe not recognize this word, but Paul reckoned upon the presence of God. He expected God's presence. Look there in verse 23. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Not the angel, but the God of the angel. Amen. He said, I belong to God and I serve a risen Savior. Amen. And boy, I'm telling you what, Paul knew that God was with him. He was counting on it, my friend. God had showed Himself strong in Paul's life many times before. You see, Paul didn't get saved today and tomorrow this great storm came in his life. God doesn't put any of us through things like that. Amen? God takes us through school. Amen. Our life starts out with the Lord and God begins to work in our lives to get us to grow a little bit. Amen. And so little things happen. Now, I know at the time we think they're major things. But when you look back, they're small things that God allows to happen in your life. And then as you learn from that experience, God allows another storm to come your way that's a little worse and troubles that are a little darker. And on and on. And the problem with some of us is we've been going through the same kind of storm for years, year after year after year after year, because we do not learn from that storm that God's still in control. We quit on God. We just forget God, walk away from Him. That's the reason we have to come back for a revival and get revived again, my friend, because it didn't stick the last time. Amen. Some of us, there's some folks listening to me. We're in some churches, Brother Randy, that the pastor says, oh, so-and-so's here. They hadn't been here since last year at this time. They got revived last year. It was such a good job. I'm such a great preacher. They didn't have to come back for a whole year. And I think they just came back now just to let me know they're still doing great. Amen? No, no, no. Problem is, folks, they're so weak, they didn't get a thing out of the last one. They didn't learn anything out of that situation that God had them in. And so God had to say, all right, back to the back end of the line. Here we go again. Step one. Now, I don't know about you. I know I'm not real smart. Now, I don't need any amens there because that's the wrong time. Amen. I'm not real smart, but I'm not totally dumb. I know that God's got things in order for my life, and I must go through these things. And so it is with your life. And we need to expect these things, my friend. And we just need to trust the Lord. We need to look for Him in the storms. Amen. Some of us never see God. Boy, if that happened in my life, I'd like to think I could look around and see God, but I've never been able to see God in. You know why? Listen to me. You don't see God when you're griping and complaining. Amen. When you're so down, my friend, listen, you got to look up. God's not down. You notice everyone in the Bible, when they went down, it always was a bad situation. Amen. We got to look up. He says when all these things come to pass, we need to lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to look up. Our help comes from heaven, not from hell. Amen. And we've got to learn to look up. Look for the presence of God. Look for God in the storm that you're in. Expect Him to be there and look for Him. And my friend, if you'll look hard enough, you'll see Him. He'll show Himself mighty and strong. Amen. Sometimes I've seen Him when I realized something. All the time I was looking for Him, I was sitting in His lap. Amen. Now, some of you think I'm weird. That's all right. I think you're weird. Amen. So we got a weird bunch here tonight. All of us are weird. Amen. So get over it. Amen. But I'm serious. As I've looked for God, sometimes I have to look. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm in His lap. Amen. Where are you at in Jesus? Amen. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. We got a wonderful God. We got a God that's worth shouting over. Yeah, glory. Amen. And I noticed as we go a little bit farther, someone told me yesterday, that I'd preach one of the shortest messages they've ever heard me preach yesterday morning. So I figure I got some overtime built up now. Amen. Dr. Lewis said he had 12 things. Just so happened I got 12 points tonight. Amen. And all this is an introduction that I've been going through. No, I'm just kidding. Not to worry. Don't get up and go to the bathroom and find your way to the car. Just hang on. It's amazing. You go to churches now. You know, folks used to go to church to get in. Get in a real good service. Now they go to get out. You can tell they back in their parking places headed out. Amen. Used to never do that. I'm honest. Folks would pull in, but now they back in so they can hurry up and make an exit. Amen. I found out that. Amen. Listen, we need to believe God's promises. We preached yesterday morning or taught in Sunday school to the men, the young men, about the promises of God. Well, I'm telling you, the promises of God are wonderful only when you apply them in your life. But we need to believe God. Verse 25, he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. It's going to be just like God said. We need to believe God. This will help you in your storms, in your troubles, if you'll just believe God. Believe God. What did God say? God said that He'd be our refuge. Amen. God said that He would hide us in His secret place. That's, you know what? That's when troubles come our way and the devil's trying to get to us, and God just takes us and puts us in His secret place so the devil can't find us. Sometimes the devil brings troubles our way, and in the midst of the trouble, the devil's busy trying to find us. Where did they go? Where did they go? And God's got us in His secret place. Amen. So the devil can't get to us. God loves us. I mean, He said it in John chapter 3 and verse 16. And He proved it at Calvary. Amen. He loves us. He cares about us. In every storm of life, God cares about us. It's not that He just throws us out there and says, hey, Let's see how you make it. It's not that. God says, hey, come on. I'm going to lead you through this storm. I'll show you how you're going to make it. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, we need to believe God. We need to trust Him with our life. And we say we trust Him with our soul. Praise God, I got saved and I'm eternally secure in Jesus Christ. Amen, hallelujah. Thank God. Wait just a second. There's more to it than that. Not only am I sure of I'm going to heaven, my friend, but I'm sure that I'm going to be all right. I mean, when Jesus comes, I'm still going to be all right. God's going to take care of me. He's promised me He would. What kind of earthly father would watch their child go through storms of life and not try to help them out? We're even guilty of helping our children out when we ought not to sometimes. Amen. I've seen folks that have to remortgage their house because their son or daughter has gotten into trouble with the law. So many times they went through all the money that they had, now they got to go borrow some. And they ought to let them, they ought to be like that prodigal son's father and just say, hey, I'm going to wait till you come back. Amen. But you know what? We love them, don't we? And so we'll do that. We'll go there knowing that we could lose the house that we've invested in all these years and said, now we've got a place. If things happen bad, we've got a place. We'll even take a chance on losing it because we love that son or daughter. Huh? We have a Heavenly Father that loves us much more than that. Amen. He'll go to all extremes, my friend, to take care of us. Amen. Some of y'all look at me like you don't believe it. Well, let me put it this way. That's the kind of Heavenly Father I have. Amen. He's going to take care of me. It doesn't matter what the storms look like. No matter what it looks like in your life tonight, you say, Brother Danny, it's looking real bad. You got a real good father if you're saved. Amen. Then not only that, but folks, we need to count our many blessings. Look in verse 35. And we're skipping a bunch of them, but verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to the God. To God, I don't know why I keep saying to the God. It's only God, but and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. When they had broken it, he began to eat. He gave thanks right there. Listen, the storm is not over. It's in the midst of the storm, and Paul takes the time. I mean, I just see the storm as it's bad. I've been through a lot of literal storms as I was growing up, and I remember this one woman that her grandson and I, his name was Kenneth and I were very close growing up. I mean, little fellas on up to teenagers, we were very close, and his mom and dad had got killed in a tornado, so his grandmother and grandfather had raised him, and his grandmother was very scared of storms. I'd be over at Kenneth's house and his grandmother and him's house, and we'd be outside playing, and she'd holler, Kenneth, you and Danny get in this house right now. He'd say, okay, Grandma. And we'd take off to the house. We'd be out there. We'd be pitching up rocks and hitting them with a stick. Got in a lot of trouble with that. But anyway, we'd be doing something like that and thinking, oh, we're in trouble again. We'd head to the house, get on the porch. He'd say, Grandma, what is it? What's going on? And she'd say, can't you see that storm? Sun was shining bright. I'm serious. There was no wind picking up. I mean, it wasn't thunder and lightning. Nothing was going on. She'd see in the far distance a little dark cloud, and it scared her. And she'd make us get in the house. And if it ever got closer, we always called them the storm pit because it was a pit. It was a hole in the ground. It was a pit. Amen. And they call them storm shelters and all this kind of stuff today, but all we ever knew was a storm pit. And she'd put us in that storm pit, and we'd spend hours in there, and sometimes it never, not even a drop of water ever fell from heaven. I know what it's like to be in those storms and be scared. And she scared me so many, not the storm, I wasn't scared of the storm, I was scared of Kenneth's grandmother, amen. I thought, boy, you talking about a tornado. This little woman is a tornado, amen? I mean that. Well, I remember that, though. I remember it so well, those storms that were so bad and just, man, I mean, terrible. And in the midst of those storms, my friend, I mean, sometimes, like I said, they would be in a far distance, and sometimes they'd even get closer. But I remember, you know how boys are. Even if she stuck us in that storm pit, and here she's getting in there with us, and his grandfathers are getting in there with us. We're in that hole in the ground, my friend. I remember so many times me and Kenneth in there, and Miss Emily, she's walking inside that little old hole there, and about two or three steps is about it, but she had shorter legs. And so she's walking, and she said, "Oh, my, we're all going to be killed." I thought, oh, this is encouraging. She's a Baptist. We're all going to be killed. And she'd say to her husband, I forgot now what his name is, but she'd say to him, "What are we going to do? We're going to die. You know that. We're going to die." And boy, she just would lose control. But I remember while she's going through all that, me and Kenneth is over there. And we get to scuffling around. And she'd say, "You boys sit there, we're going to be killed, and you don't even care." Amen? You know what? We figured we're going to be all right. Amen? I found out something in the storms. It's better. You'll enjoy them more if you just enjoy them. You're going to have them anyway. Miss Emily's going to call us in. Regardless whether we like it or not, she's going to call us in. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go get in. Amen. Listen, if we're going to go through these storms, we need to learn to count our blessings. Amen. We need to give God glory and honor and just give Him thanks. There again, in verse 35, the Bible says that He gave thanks to God in the presence of them. Well, I mean, it's just like with old Paul, it's just like the storm ain't even going on. They're still in the midst of this storm, folks. It's not over with. They're still in the midst of it. It's like old Paul said, hey, y'all want something to eat? Let's have a word of prayer and give God thanks. Paul, what is wrong with you? Are you a nut? We're all about to die. I hear Miss Emily, we're all going to be killed. And old Paul's saying, hey, let's just stop and give God praise and honor and thanks. Thanks for what? Evidently, He's the one that got us in this. And if He's not, He could have got us out, but He hadn't got us out. What is there to be thankful for? Thank God you're in a storm. That means you haven't went under yet. Amen? That means the storm hadn't got the best of you yet. So at least now, give God thanks. Amen? It'll sure make the storms a lot easier. I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying a few storms of life. Knowing that God's with us, that God's hand is upon us, that God is going to sustain us, that God is going to bless us, that God is just going to take care of us, plain and simple. Amen. So enjoy the storms of life. Amen. That's the reason Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight, my friend, and they begin to praise God. Why? They were enjoying this episode in their life. Amen. They were excited. You know why? They were down there letting their little light shine in the storm of their life. In the midst of their troubles, they was letting their little light shine. They knew there was someone watching. They knew all those other prisoners were watching. They knew it. Somebody's got their eye on them. Do you know every time there's a storm in your life, there's a reason? God's got you going through that thing that you'll let your little light shine. Why? Because somebody else is a watch. Young people, it's another youth, another young person. You think they're the peer pressure. You could be the peer pressure. The pressure to get them to do right. Amen. Just let your light shine through that trouble in your life. Don't be in despair. Oh, what's the use of trying? I mean, it's just hopeless. I mean, my situation, no one else understands my situation. It's as bad as it can possibly get. Hey, wait just a second. That's when God's the brightest. That's when He shows Himself strong. Amen. Just trust God. Just trust God. You say, Brother Danny, that sounds easy. I can tell you, it's a lot easier than what we think it is. It's easier to trust God. Listen to me. It's easier to trust God than to not trust Him. You got to put forth an effort to do all this stuff. It'll wear you out. Oh my, what are we going to do? What are you trying to do? Get an ulcer? Come on. I'm serious. Or is it that you want everybody else to pity you? Oh, we're having it tough at our house. What is it you're wanting? Isn't it easier to just say, praise God? I don't know what's happening, but I know where all my blessings come from. My God's able. Praise the Lord. He can deliver me like the three Hebrew children. He can. But if he chooses not to, praise God, I'll just go on home to be with Jesus. Amen. I've never heard of anybody getting an ulcer from praising God. Now, no one's ever, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm suicidal. Nobody's ever committed suicide praising God. Think about it. Hallelujah. You start getting down, just say, oh, whoa, whoa, I know where this is headed. Let's turn this thing around and get to praising God. You'll never think about it. Well, glory to God. No. Amen. Ain't God good? He got some of you smiling. You didn't come to do that tonight. We need to get rid of excess baggage. He said, Brother Danny, I would have thought that's where you would have started with this thing. Well, isn't it strange that's really what happened at the first? Amen. Look with me. Let me find it because I didn't mark it. I'm sorry. But in verse number, I'm still looking. Number 19. Number 18 and 19. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now they're beginning to throw all of the excess baggage, some things that they realized they didn't need. Amen. You know, you want to know how to get through some storms in your life? Get rid of some junk that you really don't need in your life anyway. Amen. You see, folks, we have been hammered on by preachers. Amen. We've been hammered on by preachers about sin, 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 sin. And we even list the sin. And rightfully so, because that's what God called us to do. But we've hammered on it until we've got it in our minds, I'm not going to sin. But the Bible does tell us that we're to lay aside the weight that doth so easily beset us. I don't think that's necessarily a sin. I think it could be something that is just a stumbling block, something that keeps us from being exactly what God or all that God wants us to be. I think it's something like that. Amen. I don't think it's necessarily we ought to stop killing. Oh, of course, we ought not started. Amen. It's not killing, it's not stealing, it's not committing adultery. Though all these things we're not to do, amen. But what I'm saying is, you see, there's some things in our life that we just need to get away from. We just need to leave alone. I mean, they're not things that we would consider sin, but they're not things that glorify God in our life. Amen. And I believe, my friend, here, they're throwing away some stuff, my friend. Listen to me. That looked like it was necessary for the trip. Some things that looked like was necessary for the trip. But along the way, when the storm came, they realized something. We can do without that. Amen? You see, I don't believe God. Nah, I probably shouldn't preach this. You can play a disclaimer at the end of this if you want to. I don't believe God will put you in hell if you miss a Sunday night service. I really don't. Amen. However, I think it's to your advantage that you don't miss one. Amen. I mean, there's just some things like that. I just don't believe God says that is sin. You're going to be judged for it. I just think that there's some things that God says, stay away from them. Leave them alone. Amen. I don't think, listen to me, I don't think that God would really get all that upset with you. Forgive me, Brother Randy. If you miss a night or two of revival, I would. And if it were me, I'd put you in hell. But God won't. Then again, it's according to how much you give. If you put in one night enough, we won't matter whether you come back or not. That's what an evangelism would do to you. Amen. No, listen to me. I don't think God would be so upset with you that he would not bless you because you missed a night or two. However, that night or two you missed could be the very night that God said, I was going to give you your help that night. And you missed it. They begin to throw out some of the excess baggage, some things that they thought they needed, but they found out that they didn't. Amen? Wasn't God good? Amen. He takes some things away from us and always replaces it with things that are better. Amen. I told someone the other day when that accident happened, of course we know there's no accidents with God, but when that thing happened, that wreck happened with us, and we were, I'm telling you, we were in a storm. I'm being honest with you. But we didn't give up. Amen. We didn't fall by the wayside in the storm. But we were in that storm, and someone said to me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, I believe that God's going to help y'all. I believe that things are going to work out for you. And it was almost like, I believe with a question mark. You know what I mean? And I said, you know, I look back on my life. God has never taken anything from me and replaced it with less or equal value. Never has. He's always, when God has taken things from me, and he has taken some things from me. I remember when I was lost, he took sin from me. And he replaced it with Jesus. Amen. But he's always, when he saw the need to remove things out of my life, he's always blessed me with something of more greater value than what he's taken. Amen. I believe Paul and these men, especially these men, are about to get something that's greater than all the baggage they've got on board. See, this trip was being made because of money. Now, you say, no, they were taking Paul. No. They were just on board the ship. The ship was sailing because they were taking some cargo, evidently wheat. That's what the Bible says. They were taking cargo somewhere. It was all about money. And these that were on the ship were there to make money. That was their job, row the ship or make sure the sails were up, whatever was necessary to do that. But they're about to receive something in their life that's greater than money. Amen. You always will if you just ride out the storm. I noticed this. As they got rid of that excess baggage, they committed themselves unto the Lord. Look in verse 40. In verse 40, when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. You said, Brother Danny, you said to the Lord. It says to the sea. Oh, but my friend, who's in control of the sea? God is. He can. The old song says, I know the master of the wind. Amen? God has everything under his control. He has loaned to the devil a little power for a little while, but he's still over that. Amen. God's in control. And so they committed themselves unto God. It's like they said, okay, Lord, we're your servants. Whatever you want, just let it happen. God, we're all right with it. We need to get to that place. Amen. In our life, tonight, not later on, but tonight, we need to get to the place, Lord, I'm your servant. Amen. Paul and them was already recognized as the servants of the Most High God. Remember when they cast the devil out of that woman that was soothsaying? My friend, she recognized them as the servants of the Most High God. Paul and them had got to that place in their life where they had just committed themselves to the Lord. They said, God, I surrender all to thee, I surrender. Amen? And we need to get to that place, folks, where we surrendered all to the Lord. You say, now, Brother Danny, do you really believe that folks can get that way? Listen, look here. Wait just a second. Here's Dr. Lewis. We know that he's been serving God for 40 years. We know that. Now, I don't know how many plus that, maybe 100 plus that. But we know 40 years that he's been serving the Lord. Don't worry, he didn't hear that. We know that he's been serving the Lord for 40 years. How's he been doing it? You see, there's some folks that have been serving God. I mean, sometimes we're in churches and somebody be testifying and they'll say, I've been serving my Lord for 60 something years. Amen. And yet there are others that they'll serve him a year at a time and then they're out a year. And then they'll come back for 2 years and then they're out. Why is this? Listen to me. It is possible. I'm telling you, the devil don't want you to know this. It's not a secret. My friend, it's just on our ignorance that we don't catch on to this thing. But it is possible for us to surrender our life to God and live for God every day of our life until God calls us home. It is possible. I'm tired of the devil giving us a lie and saying nobody can do that. God has showed us that through His Word of saints of old over and over, and we've seen it ourselves. Why? Why can't we catch on to this and realize people can serve God every day, every week, every month, every year, year after year after year after year? They don't have to get cross with God. They don't have to get out of God's will. They don't have to quit the church. They don't have to get mad at Christians. They can just serve God. God has showed us people in our own church that have done that. Oh, I know. We always look at those that don't. It's like the world. What about all them hypocrites in church? What about them? I got a better question. What about all them that ain't hypocrites in the church? Huh? What are you going to do with them? What about them? You got excuses why not to get right with God and serve God. What are you going to do with those that have done it? Just serve God. What are you going to do about that? See, that shoots your excuse down. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. We need to just commit ourselves unto the Lord. Amen. Just sell out to God. Too many of us, we won't sell out to God. We won't give God our everything. That means all the bad things in our life, all the evil things, all the wicked things, we won't give all that to God. Why? Because that's our avenue back to the old life. Children of Israel never did. Listen, they left Egypt, but they never got Egypt out of them. They always thought back to the leeks and the onions. I'm thinking of all things that they could think of. Leeks and onions and stuff such as that. Good Lord, help us. But you know what? That's what we return to. It's some of the same garbage. Amen. I mean, things that just stink up our life. Amen. It's not good things, for the good things are not the things behind us, it's the things that are before us. Oh, folks, listen. When are we going to learn? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We need to get in tune with Him. And I want to share this with you, and we'll close sometime after a while. We need to stick with God. We need to stick with God. Look back up in verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, this is not talking about salvation. Not Ted, listen to me. This is not talking about salvation. It's talking about saved in the sense of losing their life. But the point is, Paul said, you've got to abide in the ship. We know what that's talking about spiritually, don't we? You must abide in Jesus. We must abide in Him, folks. Oh, I'm telling you what. You say, well, are you talking about losing your salvation? No. Isn't that question already settled? No. It's talking about in fellowship with God. Amen. We need to abide in God, keeping that fellowship right between us and the Lord. Folks, listen to me. I'm so glad that we've had some things come up in our life with our children, different things. Just here a while back, we were in Illinois preaching a meeting, and just God is so wonderful in how He plans things. He's got a calendar. I know He does, and He marks things down, and He plans things out. And we were there, and the meeting was ending on Thursday night, and we got up that Friday morning and left out early, and we had thought about we were going down to Texas from Illinois down to Texas, and we're going by our son's place where he's pastoring there in the northern part of Texas, and we're going by there on down to a little bit, not really southern Texas, I guess central Texas, where we're going to for a meeting. And I told Pam, I said, we can go by and maybe meet them for lunch. Just spend a little time with them because we got to get on down, you know. And so we went on the way down, we get a call. And it's from our son, David. And he lets us know. He said, I don't want y'all to be upset or anything, but he said, I'm going in the morning for a test. He said, they're not sure what's wrong. They're thinking it could be, do you remember what it was? Yes, but it was something along the lines of cancer that they thought it could be. And we told him we're on our way. And he said, well, no, he's thinking we're still there in Illinois getting ready to pull out. And he said, no, you don't have to do that. We're just going in. I'm going in the morning. They've already got it all set up. And if it's as bad as they think it is, they're going to take me right on into surgery and do the surgery. And I said, we're on our way, son. We already left Illinois. We're already on our way down. Only God can plan this out. And I could hear David's voice on the other end of the phone as there was a sigh of relief. Mom and Dad are coming. Amen. And so we went on down. And I'm telling you what, listen to me. We prayed. And I'm glad in those prayers it didn't start off like this. And listen very closely. It didn't start off like this. Dear God, this is Danny and this is Pam. I know we're not right with you. I know we haven't been serving you. I know we haven't been to church. I know we haven't tithed. I know we haven't. It didn't start off like that. We said, dear Lord, we're coming with our son on our heart. And it's as though God said, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm already taking care of that. Amen. What are you saying? I'm glad that I didn't have to spend some time, valuable time. This was time that God was moving in His, not only in His life, but in His body. Amen. God was doing something there, my friend. And I'm glad we didn't have to waste time praying for Mom and Dad to get right. Amen. We need to stick with God. You'll notice the last verse we read tonight. Read it for me, Brother Randy. The last verse.
And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
They escaped all safe to land. They stuck with God's plan, with God, and they made it safely. I got some wonderful news. We stick with God, we're all going to arrive safely. Even in the storms of life down here, just stick with God. You say, but Brother Danny, no, it ain't but Brother Danny. It's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For He's made a promise to us that He'd see us through. Aren't you glad tonight for Jesus? I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. Every one of us have trouble. No one wants it. So what we need to do is learn how to deal with it, because it's going to keep coming till Jesus comes. Amen. And He's not going to take the trouble away. He's going to take us away. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, pastor's going to be up front here. The pianist is coming tonight. I don't know what you need to do. I really don't. Somebody may need to get saved tonight. Oh, it'd be a great night to come trust Jesus. Well, I've thought all day about that precious little 89-year-old lady got saved yesterday morning and was back last night, and she would be here tonight, but she's on her way to church tonight. She got sick. They had to take her back home.